Chapter number 8, verse 1, if you'd like to stand. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Turn on over in the chapter, and let's start reading. Well, I don't know really where to jump in. It's all good. Let's start verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? I read that verse again today, and I got to thinking, what could we say to that? And I thought of words such as, wow, hallelujah, glory to God. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Don't get too excited about that state. Who shall separate? When you're dealing with separation, you're talking about something getting in between and dividing. Who shall get in between us? Who's got that ability? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Of course, you can say in your heart as we say these down through here, no. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Nay, in all these things, what things? The list that he just gave. I don't know that I'd ever seen that till just then. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. What things? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. We're conquerors, more than conquerors in these things. Through him that loved us, verse 37. And then Paul got beside himself and he said, "For I am persuaded. That is, I am confident. I'm confident in the cause that is before us." He said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to do what? Separate, get in between us, divide us, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God. We pray, Lord, that your will would be done in the service tonight. And Lord, we'll give you the glory. Save sinners, stir the saints of God. Help us to walk in victory of the finished work of Jesus in our behalf. What you do for us, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you again for standing tonight. I'm looking at the subject as we have been already, salvation from condemnation. And that's what we've been saved from. We've not been saved from a hard time, we've been saved from hell. What a difference, amen? If you're talking about what we missed out on, right there's what we missed out on. We've missed out on condemnation. We've missed out on judgment. We've missed out on hell. I'll never know the flames of hell, praise God. I bless the Lord for that. But we're dealing with salvation, and hopefully if the Lord will help us finish up the night out of this chapter. In chapter 8 and verse number 1, we are going to mention these. We're not going to preach on them. I've already preached and re-preached and preached some more on them. But I note in verse number 1, there's the now of salvation. There is the no of salvation, no condemnation. And then it shows us the not of salvation, who walk not after the flesh, identifying those that are in Christ. The new of salvation that we kind of touched on there just a little bit as we were finishing up this morning. The new, that is, it's not just what we're not doing, it's now what we do in the place of that instead of walking after the flesh, which we no longer do as believers, you know, and pursue the flesh and let the flesh lead us and lord over us. But now in place of that, we're walking after the Spirit. We're walking after the Spirit. In verse number 5, we pointed this verse out this morning that what it means to walk after the flesh means to mind the things of the flesh. But to walk after the Spirit means, in verse 5, to mind the things of the Spirit. Let's look on, we talked about the now, the no, the not, the new of salvation. And let me just mention this and I'm going to move on. The no condemnation in verse number 1 is matched in the life of the believer with no carnality. Walk not after the flesh. That's in the same verse of no condemnation. Amen? And I thought that was good. But I want to go to number 5. I guess this is number 5. And I want to deal with the never of salvation or the nothing of salvation. And that is what is emphasized in the verses that we read in the closing of chapter number 8. If you're making notes, you probably already know this, but in chapter 8, verse 1, it starts out with no condemnation, but when it ends up with no separation. Hallelujah. Boy, it's a blessing, ain't it? Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it starts out with no condemnation and it ends up with no separation. You can't rejoice about the no separation at the end of the chapter if it's not a reality of the no condemnation at the first of the chapter. Amen. You can't get excited. It makes sense, don't it? You can't get excited and thrilled and full of joy about how the chapter ends if you're not excited about how the chapter begins, and it begins with no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, I'm glad of that, amen? So we're going to be looking at the never or the nothing of salvation from condemnation. And we're going to be emphasizing in this passage the true nature of salvation as revealed here, amen? Nowhere in the Scripture, and I'm just going to make a statement, and it's just a good sentence to make. Nowhere in the Scripture do you find anybody ever getting saved a second time. Now, I've tried to be a Bible student all these years, and I'm a pitiful one at that, but I've never found one. If it's in there, I want somebody to show it to me, that it's in there. But you never find nowhere in the Scripture where somebody else is getting saved an additional time. And there's a lot of Scripture that deals with that. But I want us to look at this passage about there is the never and the nothing that is attached to our salvation. Look at verse number 4. I want to give you what the Lord gave me right sitting over there just a minute ago. There can be no separation between us and the Lord in concerning our salvation When you look at these things, when you look at these areas, the first thing is when you consider the sacrifice paid for our salvation. Look at chapter 8, verse 4. Verse number 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Look at it. That's talking about the weakness of our flesh, what we were incapable of doing. But look what it says. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, not a sinful man, but in the likeness of sinful flesh. Look at this. And for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. Condemn sin. The very thing in verse 1 that was condemning us, which was sin. Verse number 4, Christ condemns it. That's why that there's a never and a nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ is because that, are y'all listening? I'm trying to help you tonight. Amen. But it is because there's nothing greater than the sacrifice. You've got to get greater than the sacrifice paid for our sin in order to be able to tamper with our salvation. Can you get greater than the sacrifice? God couldn't even get greater than the sacrifice. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, amen? And he died for us. You can't get greater than the sacrifice. But that's not all of it. Look on over in the chapter. Look at verse number 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Look at that. Jesus Christ was not spared. Now I want to tell you, and I've said this before, I love you, but I wouldn't give my son for any of you. And you wouldn't give your child for any of us either. Amen? But God gave his son for us all. You can't beat that. So in order to tamper with our salvation, you've got to get bigger than the sacrifice. Look at verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. There's the sacrifice. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You've got to get greater than the sacrifice, and you can't do that. And I'll tell you why you can't do that. Matthew 11 and verse 11 tells us, listen at this list. Matthew 11 verse 11 tells us that Jesus Christ was greater than John the Baptist. He was greater than John the Baptist. Matthew 12 and verse number 6, Jesus Christ is said to be greater than the temple. Matthew 12, 41, Jesus was greater than Jonah. In Matthew 12, 42, Jesus was said to be a greater than Solomon. And the list goes on. Amen. Jesus Christ is always going to be the greater in any comparison. Amen. Probably one of the great words that stands out in the book of Hebrews is the word better. He's better than angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than the Aaronic priesthood. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the atoning sacrifices of the Old Testament. He's better and greater than Adam even. Oh, yes. And therefore, he is my Savior tonight. I can rejoice, I can rest in Jesus tonight because there's none greater. None greater. If you're going to defeat him, you got to be greater than him. And until somebody shows up that's greater than the Lord, I want to tell you, I can shout the victory that my sins have been paid for in full and I am saved to the uttermost. Amen. Amen. That's a blessing, isn't it? Jesus Christ is greater than our sin. He's greater than our sin. He took all of our sin on him and died what should have been my death, should have been my crown of thorns, should have been my cross. He died for me. He died as me. and he was buried and rose again without any help of man. He's greater than our sin, Jesus Christ. He's greater than everything. He's greater than everyone. He's greater than all forces, in the same way that the ark in the Old Testament was greater than the judgment. Amen. Son, I'm telling you, that blessed me all over more than anywhere else. Amen. You think about it. Think about it, Brother Craig. God told Noah to build the ark. Told him how to build it, how long, how high, all the details. Told him to pitch it within and without. God made the salvation of the ark to be greater than the storm of judgment that was coming upon sin. Put a door in the side of it and open the door for an invitation for those to get on board that would want to. And everybody that was in the ark escaped the judgment. Why? Because they were in that which was greater than the judgment of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Guess what? Christ is greater than all the judgment that could come upon this world. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that myself. Amen. Amen. That's right. The sacrifice. The Old Testament sacrifices, the very best they could do was atone for sin. 1 year at a time. Amen? There was no, it's not redemption in the Old Testament, it's atonement. Would roll sin over until another sacrifice had to die the next year. And then that sacrifice would only roll the payment forward. Amen? Didn't pay for it. It didn't pay for it, Brother Craig. It just rolled the payment forward to where the payment wasn't due till next year. And then another sacrifice would die the next year, which would roll. Think about how big, you've seen snowballs. Further they go, the bigger they get. Kept rolling the whole sins of the world over to the next year, and a lamb would die. Roll it over to the next year, and a lamb would die. Well, then you do that all the way through the Old Testament, and you come into the New Testament, and there's a man born of a virgin named Jesus Christ, who is called the Lamb of God. John the Baptist pointed him out there on the banks of the Jordan when he was baptizing, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Listen now, "which taketh away the sin of the world." Not atone, not roll it over, needing another sacrifice, needing another lamb. No, Christ Jesus died once and for all, satisfied the judgment demands of God. It's not that I've got off the hook. It's that Jesus got on the hook for me. Amen. So if we got a hold of that, we'd probably get our joy back tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Greater than the sacrifice, Jesus took away the sins of the world. The very thing that condemns sinners, Christ condemned it. So I think we're in good shape. Don't you think so? The very thing that condemns sinners is what? Sin. And Jesus condemned sin in the flesh, verse number 4. Or is it verse 3? Verse number 3. He condemned sin. So how can it condemn me if it's condemned? Amen. Hallelujah. I like that. You think about that. So it's greater than the sacrifice. Verse number 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Well, that's a blessing. So you got to get greater than the sacrifice, and that cannot happen. That could not happen on God's part, and that could not happen on our part. It's because there's none greater than him. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. I'm glad I can rest tonight. I'm glad I can rest in him and trust him and enjoy him. Amen. Number two, let me mention this quickly. Of course, I'm glad that Christ is greater, but I want to say one other thing about Christ being greater. I thought about this today. Look in chapter, turn back to Romans chapter 5 right quick. Look at verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Lord showed this to me. You know why that all men are born sinners? And there's no way of you saving yourself? Is because there's no human being greater than the head, the federal head of the human race, Adam. He sinned, he plunged the whole human race into sin, and you're not greater than him, so therefore we're trapped in a sinful condition. One man sinned, and death passed upon all men. Why? For all have sinned. But for me to be able to get saved, if I can preach this without blowing a gasket, in order for me to get saved, somebody has got to come along, Miss Stacy, that is greater than Adam. Somebody that's stronger, greater, bigger to be able to fix up what Adam messed up. Oh, boy. Guess who that was? Come on. Y'all can help me. We might as well just all preach together tonight. Hey, man, you know who that was? Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible calls him? 1 Corinthians 15, you know what the Bible calls him? The last Adam. How? The last Adam. Not the second Adam. No. Because if it had said he was a second, then there could have been a third. Then there could have been a fourth. But when he said he's the last Adam, that meant there'll never be another. There'll never be a need of another. What the first Adam messed up in that one man's sin, and through that man's sin, our federal head of the human race put condemnation on all of us that we couldn't get out from. So God says, I tell you what I'm going to have to do. Not really what I have to do, but what I am willing to do and I love to do and I want to do. I'm going to provide another Adam that's going to be the federal head of another life. And his name is Jesus. Thank God that's the only way you can get saved is be in Christ. Amen. Oh, yes. Thank God for Jesus being greater than Adam. Before I get off that, I've got to give you this. I've got to give you this. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Yeah, chapter 11, right quick. Hey, man, look at, my goodness. Look at chapter number 11 of Luke's gospel. What are we talking about? We're talking about something's got to be greater. It's going to mess our salvation up or tamper with our salvation. Something's got to come along or someone's got to come along that's greater than Christ. And how many is of the persuasion that cannot ever happen? I'm enjoying this. Hey, let me ask you this question tonight. What is the greatest force of evil? Who is the greatest force? Say it, Miss Lisa. Satan. I read her lips. Satan. Guess who got defeated at Calvary? Woo! Guess who got defeated on the cross? Jesus, God's best, went into warfare with the evil's best, and Jesus won. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, he's done whipped their champion. Nothing, listen, can evil produce anything greater than the devil? That's the top of the list, isn't it? Hey, man. Can God produce anything greater than Jesus? That's the top of the list. Those done collided at Calvary? Hey, whoo, glory. And Jesus Christ won. That's why we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, I got to give you this. Y'all hang on. We'll be in Luke 11 here in a minute. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 17? When Goliath, who was the champion of the Philistines, the enemy, he said, give me a man that we may fight together. And all David steps up when he hears the blaspheming and he hears all of that. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? Who does he think he is? But here's the point, Sister Moles, here's the point that Goliath said, if I whip them, then all of y'all will be our servants. But if he, the one you provide, whips me, then we will be your servants. It wasn't two armies fighting, it was two heads of those armies fighting. Ah. Are y'all listening? So it come down, time for the showdown. And out walks this almost 10-foot tall Goliath, giant of the Philistine. Keep in mind, he's called the champion. What does that mean? He had done took on all oncomers and whipped them. He was the reigning champ. But then stepping out on the other side was little David. Amen. And David took care of business, a picture of the Lord going against the force of evil. Amen. And here's the point I want to make before we move on. David's victory over Goliath became the victory for the whole nation of which he represented. They didn't fight the fight. I've got goosebumps that big. Amen. They didn't go out there on the battlefield. They didn't sling the stone. They weren't in the warfare. But because David represented them, because David was their head, amen, and he won the victory for them, they all got to enjoy the victory. Can I remind you tonight? It wasn't me that was on the cross. It wasn't you that was on the cross. I wasn't the one that was going against the devil. I wasn't the one that was my friend in a warfare. No, I had a heavenly representative tonight. His name is Jesus. He won the victory and it passed on down to me. Fine. Whoa, glory! Lord, I don't know if I can preach this or not. Look at Luke chapter 11. Brother Craig knows where I'm going. It's been years since I've looked at this scripture as far as preaching it. We have a man here that was demon-possessed in our text. And look what said, let's just read it. Verse 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. All devils are dumb, by the way. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. Now watch this. Verse 20. But if I with the finger of God. Boy, I've always loved that. I've got that underscored. If I with the finger of God. The devil thinks he's bad the bone. God says, I just need to use my finger. I don't even have to flex. Just my finger. Are you looking? But if I with the finger of God, and it may be something like this. He might have been pointing down the road, Brother Rob, saying, all right, get. Amen. Or he may have said, I don't know what he did with the finger of God. But anyway, the Bible said he casts out devils. No doubt the kingdom of God is coming to you. Watch this. He gives an illustration here. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. And watch that. He said, when the strong man. That was talking about that man that was demon possessed. There was a strong man inside of him that possessed him. And as a result, he keepeth his palace and his goods and are in peace. But when a stronger man, when a stronger than he, everybody looking at verse 22, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and shall overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoil. Y'all watching that? Everything was going uninterrupted as long as the strong man was in control. Nobody could contest it, Sister Moles. Nobody could contest it. Oh, until, watch out now, until a stronger than he showed up. Thank God, are y'all listening? I'm glad Jesus Christ is the stronger than he. Amen. I'm looking at some and you're looking at one up here whose life at one time was being controlled and dominated by sin and by demonic forces. Come on now. You can read Ephesians chapter 2 if you don't believe that. Talking about us before we were saved, that we walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But then one day, Miss Debbie, the stronger than he showed up. For 20 years, the strong man dominated me. Controlled me, directed me, guided me, and of course, I was after the flesh, so I minded the things of the flesh. But on January 20th, 1981, I was sitting on about the fifth row back on this side, Middle Fork Baptist Church, and just outside of Rosman, North Carolina, on the second night of a how long meeting? 7 weeks. Y'all have heard me tell it so much you like. You could give the details of my testimony. We ended up going 7 weeks. And I can just see it happening. The stronger showed up on my pew and told the strong man, get. Your days are over with. It's time for God to answer mama's prayers. It's time, amen. It's time that I save this boy. It's time that I call him to preach because he's got to go to Rogersville in a few years, amen, and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the stronger than he. You got to get greater than the sacrifice if you're going to mess up the plan of God. Oh boy, ain't that good. That's wonderful, isn't it? Well, Lord, help us. That's just one thought, isn't it? But that's a big one, though. What about this one? Just jump ahead right here. You got to have something greater, someone greater than the sovereign. I'm trying to get you to see where you can rejoice in your salvation. Amen? That's right. You say, what are you talking about? God. Look at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Would y'all like to answer that? I mean, that is a question. You got an answer? Anybody got an answer? If God be for us, who? Come on now. Can you think of anybody? Now, you're going to have to think about somebody that's bigger than God. Come on, man. Can you think of one? Surely out of this congregation and all the brains represented here, we could come up with somebody, something that's bigger than God. If God is for us, who can be against us? You know why that wasn't answered? It's because there are no answers. Amen. Brother Mays Jackson said he was preaching that big one day, that verse of scripture right there, and he was in a big way of preaching. You know, Brother Mays, he was letting her rip. I mean, if God be for us, who can be against us? And somebody spoke up in the back and said, the deacons can. But anyway. Lord have mercy. I could hear somebody saying something like that. But you got to be bigger than the sovereign. Look at verse, let's see here. Let me get my glasses on where I can see something. Verse number, where's it at? Verse 33, that's where I wanted to get. Still talking about the sovereign. We already talked about the sacrifice, Jesus condemning sin in the flesh. Look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Those that are saved by God's grace. Who can lay anything to the charge? Who can bring up an occasion? Who can put something on your record? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God. Look at this. It is God that justifieth. Y'all ready for the next question? Look at verse 34. In light of that, who is he that condemneth? You know why there's no answer to the who in verse number 31? Who can be against us? You know why there's no answer to the who in verse 33? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know why there's no answer to the who of verse 34? Who is he that condemneth? It's because there are nobody that can stand up against the greater of the sovereign God of heaven. Nobody can contest him. Nobody can compete with him. There's none greater. Well, that's a blessing to me. That helped me. Glory to God. Amen. None greater than the sovereign, none greater than the sacrifice, none greater than my standing or my status. Look in verse number 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the, what's the name? Sons of God. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Oh, I like that. Someone said the English version of Abba is Papa. Hey, I'm talking about nothing. None is greater than our status as children. I'm not saved, listen, I'm not saved by my fellowship. I'm saved because I'm in a relationship. I'm the child, he's my father. Amen. Look verse 14. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse number 17. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. Our status. Something's got to rise up bigger than our status as children. Are you listening? Brother Aaron, what's your daddy's name? Say it out loud. Jeff who? Jeff Sims. And this is his son sitting back here, right here. Raise your hand right there. Aaron, and your last name is Sims. Father and son. Brother Aaron, have you in your years done everything that your daddy wanted you to do? You about to get happy, and me too. In other words, there was times he had to discipline you. There was times that he may have had to whatever, you know. Hey, man. But did it ever change your last name? Did you ever look at your daddy and say, well, daddy, I wish you were still my daddy. I know I messed up. I disobeyed. I know you told me not to, and I did. You told me to do, and I didn't. And daddy, I'm sorry that I'm no longer your son. It may mess up the fellowship. It may break the fellowship, but that relationship, that birth produced, is fixed. Glory to God. Amen. You say, but what about when we get out of line? Read Hebrews 12. Read Hebrews 12. When we get out of line as children, as sons, as daughters of God, and we get out of line, the Bible says that because we have a Father and the Father loves His children, He chasteneth every son whom He receiveth. He takes me and deals with me and corrects me, but He don't cut me off. Hallelujah. Say amen right there. And you know what? My daddy would tear me up growing up many times, and I didn't get near as many as I should have. But daddy would tear me up, and I'd get the poochy lip and pout. And Brother Rob, probably before the day was over, probably even before the evening was over, I'd be back around there hugging on daddy. Loving him. You said, preacher, how do you do that? He just tore your tail up. He just chastened you. No, I knew he loved me. A loose parent don't love their child. If our Heavenly Father was loose with you and let you just do as you please and live as you please, and there's never no correction, there's never no chastening, then you could say scripturally that He don't love you. But nobody's ever been able to go before God with that accusation, because He loves us, and it has been proven time and time and time again. I'm glad He's that way. I'm glad He's tore me up. I'm glad the Lord's rebuked me. I'm glad the Lord has corrected me. I'm glad the Lord says, oh no, now you can't do that. You're not going that direction. You're not going to drag my name through the mud. Oh, I'm glad He calls. I'm glad He pursues, just like a shepherd. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Just like a shepherd pursues the straying sheep. Hallelujah. Amen. That shepherd would find that sheep, and a sheep has no sense of direction. And that shepherd would find that sheep, and if they had a habit of straying, and it was a regular occurrence, Brother Craig, that shepherd would do what some would think maybe is mean, break his leg, to where he couldn't run away. Where he couldn't stray. And then after breaking the leg, the shepherd would very tenderly put splints on it and set it and everything so it can start the healing process. Oh. Brother Frank, you don't care if I get excited, do you? But let me tell you what he would do, Brother Williams. Some of y'all ahead of me, slow down, let me catch up with you. Take that straying sheep that had just got through breaking its leg. Lay it up on his shoulder. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Listen, something has to get up bigger than the shepherd to mess up the sheep. And he would carry that sheep around until it got so used to the shepherd's closeness. Amen. And the shepherd would just have to lean his head over a little and whisper the little sweet nothings and the promises in the ear of that sheep. And hey, man. It wasn't the sheep that was having to climb the hills and over the rocks and through the rivers. Hey, man, no, it was the shepherd caring. Some of you may be on there now. You may feel like, oh, I'm on the shepherd's shoulder. But then there come a time that the healing had taken place and the splint was taken off. And he would set that sheep down. Did the sheep go running off down the hill saying, I'm out of here again? No, no. He done got so close to being close.
He done got so used to being close that I want to tell you what he did. He just hung in there. Everywhere the shepherd went, he went. He realized that where the greenest grass was wherever the sheep of the shepherd's feet was. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about the wolves because they're not greater than the shepherd. I don't have to worry about the wilderness. I don't have to worry about that because the shepherd is greater than any opposing enemy. Hallelujah. I don't know how I got on all that. Greater than the sovereign. Greater than our standing. What about this? Greater than our side. You said, preacher, that ain't gonna be, that's gonna be easy, preacher, to get somebody greater than our side. You need to look on our side who's playing. If God be for us, he's on our team. He's not blocking, he's carrying the ball. Say amen right there. Oh, that's good, ain't it? Greater than our side. Greater than our settlement. Look in verse number 33. It said there in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Or who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Justified. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also is making intercession for us. Greater than our settlement. We've been justified. God took away the condemnation and put justification in its place. Hallelujah. Boy, that's a blessing, ain't it? So greater than our settlement. Greater than the Spirit. Greater than the Spirit. 19 times in chapter number 8, the Spirit of God is talked about. Greater than the Spirit. Amen. And there, you can read through there on that. Verse number 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what that we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. And he said, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You got to get greater than the Spirit of God to mess up the seal. He's our seal. We're sealed under the day of redemption. He's not, the seal is not something the Spirit of God does. The seal is the Spirit of God. And that comes from an Old Testament illustration when the kings would take their ring and their signet, it was called, and when something was drawn up, that king would seal it. And when he would seal it, there was be nothing that he could do. Not even the king could change it. Let me give you an example. Just come to mind. Example. Remember when they conjured up the plan to trap Daniel? Yeah, we know we're going to trap him. If anybody is caught for 30 days praying to any god other than, you know, the gods of Nebuchadnezzar and all that, said he'd be arrested and thrown in the den of lions and all that. You know that. And the king sealed it. Well, guess what? In a very few hours, they'd already caught Daniel. They knew it wasn't going to take 30 days to catch Daniel praying, because he had a habit of praying. He had a life of prayer. They caught him. The king loved the king liked Daniel. The king didn't want to throw him into the den of lions, didn't want to, but because the king sealed it, even the king couldn't back out on what he said and agreed to. Oh my goodness. I want to tell you, when I got saved, God put the earnest of my inheritance in me. The sweet Holy Ghost sealed me until the day of redemption. And listen, I'm not being out left field when I make a statement. Not even God can cancel that. Woo! And if God's the one that justified, if God's the one that saves, if God's the one that forgives, if God did that, I want to tell you, who's going to come up? Who's going to take over? Who's going to outdo him? I'm God bigger and greater than the seal. What's this? Oh, Lord. Let me give you this right here. Look at verse 35. I've got to hurry. I'm right now done. Well, I'm not done, but I'm going to quit. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? I'd love to go down through there and give you those definitions. Or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Verse 36, that is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, that's as bad as it can get. Y'all not getting that. I just thought of that. You remember when Jesus talking about don't fear what man can do? And he said that the worst they can do, Brother Brian, is kill you. I mean, the absolute worst. Come on now. The absolute worst that could happen to us is that they kill us. Guess what the Bible said? Death don't separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Death, neither death nor life, anything that life brings into your world or your world brings into your life, life cannot. Angels, principalities, powers, things present, nor things to come, nor height. Well, those how tall things, those barriers. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able, have the ability, the power, be successful at separating us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, it's not just that Jesus Christ has saved us from condemnation. I believe the emphasis tonight has just simply been that we can enjoy the trip. And let me mention this in closing. And if you've heard me preach much at all, you know that I do not preach the security of the believer as an excuse for sin. I know I've heard it being accused of that. I mean, I've never done it. Some may have. And I've no doubt there has been. But not me. Amen. A person that wants to live loose and they're saying, well, because I'm saved forever, I can do what I want, that is a lost person. There's no way a person can know the Savior and have that kind of desire in their life. Amen. A saved person is not interested in seeing how far away he can get. He's wanting to see how close he can get. Amen. Well, I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Not interested in turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, a license to sin. Amen. I heard the old, I'm not going to call his name because this pulpit's too holy to even mention his name. But the Louisiana preacher, I remember hearing him, and I heard him with my own ears preach that the doctrine of this eternal security was a damnable doctrine. I heard that with my own ears. But amazingly, and I don't want to bring up much because I don't want to grieve the service in any way. But most of you know that even on national news, he was caught in gross immorality. But did he get saved again? No, all he said was, forgive me, Lord. When he'd preached all of his life that you can lose your salvation. But he didn't, evidently, if he is even saved. It's amazing, isn't it? I've never met one
I've met some that made a second profession. My brother made a second profession one time. It wasn't real, false, and he later told that. Brother Carroll, before he made that second profession, he was on fire, he was excited, he was serving the Lord, you know, faithful to church and everything, had joy. But he got in one of them services where a spirit of doubt just come in and took over. And he made a second profession. His joy went. His joy left. His desire to serve God left. Everything left. Until he come back around and he said, listen, I didn't get saved. I was already saved. And God gave him his joy back. And he went on to preach and pastor and all of that. Amen. I'm not talking about that. We're not interested in that. Amen. But I'm glad we can enjoy our salvation tonight. Somebody asked me one time, said, do you believe in once saved, always saved? I said, here's what I believe. You got to get once saved first. I ain't worried about the always part. I'm worried about the once part. Amen. Amen, that's right. If you want to use Bible terms, you don't find eternal security in the Bible as a term. You don't find that, but I'll tell you what you do find, Brother Craig. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John chapter number 10, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. You read terms like that, eternal, everlasting life. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad I'm saved from condemnation. And I'm glad of how I can rejoice in that. I can praise God for that, because there's none greater than the sovereign, none greater than the sacrifice, none greater than the Spirit that has sealed me, none greater, listen, oh, I should have added another one. None greater than the Scriptures. Some of those verses I just quoted, comes from right here. When God gave a promise, he can't lie. Bible says that two or three times. God cannot lie. Something's got to come along greater in this book right here. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand on our feet. Amen.